we spent a lot of time so far discussing under what circumstances you could be told a dam on a maka, either maka yiduah shemotzi adam, sometimes a maka sheinu yiduah shemotzi adam, whether it's b'shas vest, shelo b'shas vest, etc. Now we'll focus on where is such a maka situated, where can such a maka be situated that you could be tola on a maka as such. So it's clear that any maka which is outside of the rechem, any maka which is further down in the towards the end of the machlokas, as we've learned before, exactly what's considered the halachic rechem. Is it just what we call, or the halachic mukur, is it just what we call the rechem? Is it just the uterus? Is it part of the tzav harechem also? Is it also part of the cervical canal? Does it go up to the internal aser even further out? But whatever that definition is, which we'll have to talk about more, any dam seen outside of the area defined as a makor is definitely suitable for a tliya. The question is, how do we relate to dam that comes from a makah that's in the rechem itself? So here, there are, it seems, three possible positions among contemporary poskim, and we'll have to flesh that out.
Part of the what are we defining as rechem in English?
Uterus.
And makor?
Makor is machlokas, but the makor is minimally the rechem, maybe a little bit into the tzav harechem as well, maybe a little bit into what we would call the cervical canal also. Od chazal lamoed, we do plan on having a medical professional come and flesh out some of these issues in medical terms or anatomical terms. But for now, we have to address what's the status of a maka that is found inside the rechem. So the lashon of Shulchan Aruch, again, back to if hey, is im yesh maka ba'osa makom tolim b'dam makasa. So maka ba'osa makom sounds like there's a maka in the rechem itself. That's lashon ha'gemara. And that's what the Shach says over here in Sivkatan Yud Zayin. They're talking about a maka in the makor itself, in the place where normal dam in nidus comes from. And that's beferish as well in the Chuvas Maram Lublin, quoted in the Piskei Tshuva here, Sifkata and Kaf Beis, Maram Lublin in Piskei Tshuva, Sifkata and Kaf Beis. So this all sounds like we're talking about a maka in the makor itself, in the rechem itself. Rav Avadya in Chelek Yud Siman Yud Zayin, Chelek Yud Siman Yud Zayin, quotes a Tosefta, Lashon HaTosefta in Perek Ches, Nemenes Yishalom or Yeshli Maka Min a Makor. Again, we're talking about a maka in the makor itself. Lashon Rambam, Periches Halacha Yudalid, Periches Halacha Yudalid. A woman sees a maka, a dam machmas maka, sheyesh la b'makor. Again, dam b'makor itself, even b'shas vesta. Fine. But nevertheless, despite all these indications, there is a machlokas among poskim as to whether all dam maka that comes from a makor, min harechem is tahor. Are there distinctions? Maybe everything in practice is actually tameh. Which relates to the question as to whether uterine bleeding is only going to be metame if it's part of the regular cycle, or will uterine bleeding sometimes or always be metame even if it's not part of the regular cycle? Now, the regular cycle, you have dam that comes from the endometrial lining inside the uterus. So let's say you have dam coming from the endometrial lining in some other context due to some external force, not due to the normal cycle. So how do we view such dam? Can you refer to that kind of dam as dam maka as well? So in this fine sefer that I only recently discovered, thanks to Rabbi Willick, Pisei Das, written by Rav Morgenstern, one of the three major spokespeople, Talmidim, representatives of Rav Yashiv during the last decades of his life, American-born, He has two volumes just published in the last few years, Piskei Das on Hilchos Nidah. I met him once about 15 years ago. I found him to discuss a certain matter with, but he has this wonderful sefer here. And he points out, in the end of Perek Hay, Nisbach in the end of Perek Hay, Din Dam Shavami Amakor Machmas Gormi Macher, and it's impossible to say that the only dam that's going to be Matami a woman is dam that comes as part of the natural cycle, because her kamba the kamba rayus from various gemaras, it's not true. So for example, you have the Gemara Daf Yud Aleph, the case of Kapsa Varasa, a woman can see dam as a result of jumping, as a result of exercise, as a result of abnormal physical activity. So that's not dam as part of the normal cycle, and nevertheless, it's an external cause that precipitates dam nidus. Number two, Sam Gimel Mebeis. A woman eats certain foods that could also cause her to see dam, and that dam is tamei. Number three, Ayin Aleph Amid Aleph. A woman sees dam machmas pachad, batitz chalchal amokam ma'od, by Esther. So there again, there's an external stimulus that causes riyas dam, but that's dam nidus. Then dam chimur, which we'll talk about in due time. Eim sichas amakor, eim sichas kavibul adam, rav machmas tashrish. These are all sukkahs, some of which we've addressed at least briefly, some of which we'll get to, that indicate there are many situations in which a woman can see dam from the normal source that is caused by an external stimulus. So even though the dam is not part of the normal monthly cycle, it's still dam nidus. So you can't say that any dam, or you can't say that dam nidus is only created when you have the blood minimum core that comes as part of the natural cycle. But on the other hand, it seems that there is a notion of dam maka bimakor, which is not going to create dam nidus. So how do you figure out what's in and what is out? So in the Darkei Tshuva, Sivkata Nun Hei, Darkei Tshuva, Sivkata Nun Hei, he quotes from a Tshuva Svar Shmuel. Svar Shmuel was an early Italian achron. I think the most famous Tshuva of the Dvar Shmuel we discussed last year, for those of you who are here for Erevin, in the famous Dvar Shmuel about how we are makel in defining carpaves in large cities. But the Dvar Shmuel, Simon Ayin Aleph, discusses the status of Tchorim Barechev. So Tchorim usually is translated as hemorrhoids. There's no such thing as hemorrhoids in the uterus, so he must be talking about something like fibroids. Fibroids are growths that are embedded in the endometrial lining. So, what is the status of dam, which is produced by his tchor b'rechem, which are our fibroids, presumably? So he writes, l'shuma hamisava b'osamakom, a growth that is created b'osamakom, din v'shem maka yeshla. So that growth, which is created b'osamakom, and then causes bleeding, has the status of a dam maka. And the Dvar Shmuel writes that we're not concerned if you have such a growth in the endometrial lining, such a growth in the rectum that causes dam. Apparently, we're not concerned that maybe that dam gets mixed together with regular dam nidus, regular dam that would be metamir. Because if that was the case, then how could you ever have a kula of taliyah damaka? Every time there's damaka of the makor, you would have to be choshesh, and maybe that damaka is getting mixed together with other tamei dam. So the fact that we don't have such a concern, the fact that there is a notion of dam maka of the makor, which is tahor, must indicate that once we establish the existence of a maka, even the makor, which is motzi dam, we're not concerned that that dam min hamaka is getting mixed together with other dam that is otherwise tame. That's what seems to be the bottom line of the Svar Shmuel, which would indicate that if you have a maka, even a makah b'makor, even a makah in the same area that otherwise is motzi dam nidos, you have the right to be tola on a makah, and not worry that maybe that dam makah is getting mixed together with other dam that is tameh.
What is supposed to be the dam tameh? Because it's the same blood, I mean, so it's coming from the same place, it's still called dam makah. We're saying that like her menstrual blood,
that's what it sounds like, right? Maybe we're concerned that there's dam that is coming out as part of the normal cycle that is going to get mixed together with the dam which is precipitated by a makah, the dam which is coming out because of the makah. Okay. Shuvah Tzitz Eliezer, Chelek Yitzayim, Simen Lamed Zayim. Chelek Yitzayim, Simen Lamed Zayim. This is a 1985 Shuvah to Rav David Cohen, a Flatbush. Nashim Shiesh Lehen Shrivim, Mesal Harechem, Shinekram, Fibroids. Shemotziyim dam. Varofi omr, shakashu lekvoa ima dam ayosim yam hu dam nido dam makah. How do you address fibroids where it's difficult to ascertain with any certainty whether the dam that's coming out is dam that could be attributed to the fibroids or regular cycle dam? So the Tzitz Eliezer writes, Hinei leni yasaiti nir lahoros leheter Mikaven she'enzu ra'iya normalis, normalit, that you can be meiko, because the ra'iya that you see here is not the normal ra'iya of the normal cycle. Uve'ikr mikaven she'hem nirin la'ayin k'ma makos, especially because once you can ascertain that there are fibroids present, so the fibroids have the appearance of a makah. It's a lump. It's a recognizable irregularity in the lining. L'chein yesh l'hachshiv zos k'mo dam makos makah. So you have the right to treat it as dam makah. V'lo mishanav ezem masha rofei omer ki tafein she'oso hagorein shamosi adam hu be'emes hagorein l'dam nidus. And don't be concerned, the doctor's saying, well, it could be that whatever is causing the dam to come out of the fibroid is also causing dam nidus to come out. Maybe it's all one and the same. He quotes the Dvar Shmuel, and he says, you see from the Dvar Shmuel, D'lo mishana b'zamash arofi omer sheitachin shadam ba b'zah gamke miyosa goreim shagarim l'dam nidus. So we're not concerned with what the doctor says, and maybe it's all the same cause. Because it has the appearance of a makah. So and that is the immediate cause for the dam that's coming out, these fibroids. This is not the normal ri'iya. Became and sheish was a ziva cheres agarim l'sed. It's another cause. Vehi hashriven on a ground fibroids. Cheis had v'sach rechem asher din makos lahem. A little difficult to understand. Maybe he's just overstating the case because it sounds like he's working with the definition that anything that's not the normal ri'iya is not going to be dam nidus. So as we just pointed out, that can't be true. Because there are common v'kama cases in the Gemara that we paskin like, where you have something that's not the ri'iya normalit, and yet it creates dam nidus. So I don't know if that's a guzmar, or that's just in reference to this particular case, where it's in extremely other direction, where you have a makra. Not sure. And then he quotes the Chazon Ish, which we'll get to in a few moments, Simen Pei Aleph, as espousing a similar position. His bottom line is, if you have fibroids that are visible, that are documented, and you have dam that is attributable to the fibroid, that is dam makah, and the woman would be tahora. Sounds like Nishmas Avram, Dr. Steinberg, quotes a similar position from Shlomo Zalman. In the new edition of the Nishmas Avram, this appears on page Kuf Nun, in the newest edition. Kazav li'igon Shlomo Zalman or Bach Zitzal, V'achol gav shamaka mutzia dam gam yosu agidim shemispachim shas best. Even though the maka is causing dam to come out from the very source of a normal ria, from the very same endometrial lining. Mikol makom dam nidahu rak mikol makom dam nidahu rak adam sheyose me'elav kedarko b'ofin tibi. Nevertheless, even though the dam coming out due to this fibroid is from the very same endometrial lining that causes damnidus, nevertheless, definitionally, damnidus is only where it comes out on its own through a natural process, which is not the case over here. What does the Chazon Ish write? So in Simen Pei Aleph, Chazon Ish writes as follows. So he's also talking about growths in the uterus. And he writes, Benida Nidan, the feed Dibre Arofim, Hababuos, Motzios Dam, Bivade, Vishas Vest. So here, these fibroids, let's call them, are Motzi Dam, even Vishas Vest, Vimkenish Lahakel, Ap Vishas Vest, the Elom are Dahad Nido Nidan, Garet Fe, and don't tell me that this case of the fibroids are worse. Cave in the Dhamma vest over Derech HaBabua, because here the Dhamma vest, the normal Dham, is passing over the Babua, over the growth. The Enkan Dhammaka El Dhamnida, so you really have Dhamnida there. Al Karcha Ze'eno Dim Kain Nafla Taras Maka Bibira. If that's the case, as we said before, from the Drashmal, he doesn't quote the Drashmal, if that's the case, if we were so concerned, then how do you ever have a kula damaka? The dilma damnidus over derech hamaka? We should always be concerned that maybe damnidus is passing over the maka. And don't we know there's a notion of damaka? V'lo amru chachamim lachor berofim im damnidus over derech hamaka. And nowhere does it say you have to ask the doctors whether the damnidus is passing over the maka. Alavade kosha ore patsua umuka ein derech ria b'kafutori. It must be that any time there is a wound in the endometrial lining and there's dam coming out in a way that's not derech ria b'kaf, she's going to be tahora. And then he goes on to backtrack a little bit. Maybe you wouldn't say this b'shas vest. Maybe that's on the Shalom B'Shas Vest, but B'Shas Vest, you have to be Choshesh. Okay. So all these positions seem to argue that you could have Damaka Barechem, even if you have a Maka in the endometrial lining itself, in the same place that Damnidus would come from. Nevertheless, you can be told of the maka under at least certain circumstances where you establish the existence of such a maka. It's Yaduish Motzi Dam, perhaps, etc. Benji.
So when it says in the Shulchan Aruch, Mishuna Midam Reisa, Ayatollah Bidam Makasa,
that's a detail. That's where you can tell that the appearance of the blood is different than the appearance of Dam Maka. Meaning, if there's a different appearance of Dam Maka than Dam Reia, and it looks more like Dam Reia, then you have no right to be told. But that's a detail. You see in the Nosek Elam here that we don't necessarily know how to do that nowadays, the Torah Shlamim and the Gilya Marsha. We're not going to talk about those details right now. Okay. However, Rabbi Morgenstern points out over here that there seems to be a stira in the Dvar Shmuel. We just quoted the Dvar Shmuel in Simon Ayin Aleph, who seems to say that if you have Dam Maka B'Makor, even if it's in the same place where Damnidus comes from, you have the right to be Mekel. because otherwise how do you ever have a case of Dam Maka that's Tahor? However, there's another Shuvah B'Dvar Shmuel in Simen Kuf Ayin. That was Ayin Aleph. And this is Kuf Ayin.
This is
Kuf Ayin. The first one was Ayin Aleph, 71, and this is 170. Flip the numbers and then you're almost there. So the Dvar Shmuel writes here as follows. Amarati vasbonein b'inyan anidrash al odos osa isha shaloksa b'chadri b'inna. A woman has a wound in her inside. Zela yamin rabim shotsar berifya and kishrei aimshala. There's pain in the uterus. The ziyasa lachutz umide seisa taziyak motif asdam. There's dam coming out. V'kevin shekafiyat sasa ma'isa lo nimseis maka ve'im atzma kadei lilasadam. They didn't really find the maka in the refem, etc. In the course of his analysis over here, the Dvar Shmuel writes that if you do have dam min harechem, even if the source of that dam is attributable to something other than the regular cycle, she's still tamei. That seems to be, again, Siman Ayin Aleph. Darkei Tshuva go to Siman Ayin Aleph, who's Mako, and here, the same Dvar Shmuel seems to say that even if the dam is attributable to another source, if it's coming min harechem, you have no right to be Mako. Rabbi Morgenstern suggests that maybe the difference is in Simen Ayin Aleph, he's talking about a maka that's b'makor, but it's not in the endometrial lining itself. So if you have a maka b'makor that's not embedded in the endometrial lining itself, then you don't have to be choshesh that that dam got mixed together with dam nidus. But if there's a maka in the endometrial lining, so then you have to be concerned that maybe there's dam nidus there as well. So even if there's a maka, you have to be machmir and treat the woman as tamei. So even if there's a maka and the maka is motzi dam, which is not part of the normal cycle, but if it's in the endometrial lining itself, then maybe you have to treat the woman, or you would have to treat the woman as Tamei. So I'll have to ask the medical professionals if there's a difference there, or this is a distinction between a fibroid and a polyp. Looks like a fibroid is always embedded in the endometrial lining, and maybe a polyp is in the muscle that's outside of or above the endometrial lining. I haven't clarified the mitzvahs on that well enough. Despite what the Chazon Ish writes in Siman Ayin Aleph that we just quoted, that seems to take a relatively liberal stand on these matters, there's a famous exchange of letters between the Chazon Ish and a Dr. Taub, which is printed in Hapardes. I think I sent the PDF out to you. This is Hapardes. Hapardes used to be the premier Torah journal in America, going back to before the war. until it went out of business, I don't know, maybe 15, 20 years ago, maybe a little bit more. So Hapardes Choveres Vav Shana Lamed Hey, Choveres Vav Shana Lamed Hey, also reprinted in Pe'er Hador, Volume 4. So this exchange relates to a discussion about a procedure that has not been done in the medical world for decades, called air insufflation. I sent you an article from a medical journal from 1927 that discussed what this procedure was. Apparently, this is done to blow up the uterus in situations of infertility to open the access ways to the fallopian tubes, which the theory was that could perhaps enhance the possibility of becoming pregnant. So they would pump CO2 into the airways, into the rachem, so then that would pump into the fallopian tubes. But this procedure apparently led to bleeding. The question was, how do you treat the bleeding that happened as a result of this procedure? So the Chazon Ish writes to this Dr. Taub, asking him about this procedure. There's a back and forth. And the most important part of this this correspondence is the second back, where the Chazon Ish writes back to Dr. Taub the following. This is the second column, if you have it in front of you. Ki alafa kavas gimel inyane damim. The three categories of dam that relates to this issue of defining damah. Number one. Moser hadam hanigar min haguf l'chutz. So the regular excess dam which the body expels is part of the normal monthly cycle. Ke'ein dam apsoles hamuchrach lasiro min haguf shelo yaru l'stam achayim zu ikar aves. So the regular dam that comes as part of the regular vest, which the body expels is part of the natural cycle. So that is category one of dam. Category number two, dam haba shelo bisman aves. The dam that happens not during the time of the vest, ayide ones, due to some ones circumstance, could go kemo dechika, the pushing of akab rechem or hitting the rechem, hagorim nizilas adam, which causes the flow of dam. Okay, ein dam hanozel machmas leida apola, just like or analogous to the dam that flows out as a result of childbirth or a miscarriage. Okay, so that's category two, dam that's not bisman havest, but is coming out of the normal source of blood due to some external stimulus. And then category number three, dam haba machmas sheret bu'or harechem. Dam that comes due to a scratch in the or harechem, in the lining of the rechem. Where the dam comes out in the same way that it would come out if you would scratch a different part of the body. So just like if you would scratch your knee a certain way, dam would come out. So if you scratch the lining of the uterus in a certain way, dam will come out. Says the Chazon Ish, Hashnayim harishonim mitzad alocha heim osir mesa isha masvichem lahasaka shel zayinyam in the kima tefila. So category 1 and 2. Category 1 is pasha, that's regular dam nidus. Category 2, even if the dam is caused by some external stimulus, that is halakhically dam tmeya, dam nidus, now requires the whole tara process. But dam ashlishi tar, but that dam which is caused by a scratch to the uterine lining, to the endometrial lining, that is going to be tar. Anyway, Mithtav Kvodo Lamadati Shaina Dhamma Baba Pula Sanaficha Einanu Dhamma Vestos. So you clarified for me, Dr. Tao, in early 1948, that the Dhamma comes as a result of this procedure, is not category number one. Aval Sha'alti Madamu Miso Shlishi, but my question was, is it category three or category two? Then Dr. Taub responds, Aleph Vayikra Tav Shin Ches. A few weeks before Hakamas HaMedina. Karasi is miftava chasha shel kol terasa berov iyan v'hinani lashivo. Ki adam shava machmas pula b'shas avaris avir derech atzotzras arachem sarach limanos asagash lishi. It's category three. There's category three. That's going to be da maka, which is tahor. So that's the end of the correspondence as is printed in Hapardes. So if you stop there, you get the impression that the conclusion is, like Dr. Taub, that this is category three, and therefore dam that's produced in this procedure is analogous to dam srita, to dam from a scratch, and would be dam maka, which would be tahor. However, there's another letter that the Chazon Ish apparently wrote back afterwards, which is not printed here, which is reprinted in a volume called Zichron Sha'ol, which for those of us who don't have the Zichron Sha'ol, was reprinted in a footnote in the Shulchan Shlomo on Refuah, page 26. Do you have that Xerox on? No, for a second, I don't think I brought it with me. So there, thank you. In the footnote there in the Shulchan Shlomo, he has the following response back from the Chazon Ish. Page Kav Vav in the Shulchan Shlomo. Right, Shulchan Shlomo is a collection of Shlomo Zalman's Pesachim on Inyane. Well, this is a volume on Inyane Refuah, three volumes. This is, I think, volume one. Actually, I don't remember which volume it is. Page Kav Vav. So the Chazon Ish wrote the following. Harovim Shalanu, our doctors, Omim, Shesar Shehea Zivuk Toch Gimel Yamim. So the point, or the relevance of this question was that in order for this procedure to be effective, the woman would have to have Tashmish within a short window of time after the air was pumped in. But if she's going to be Tameya because of the dam, that's a byproduct of this procedure, and she has to count Shiva Nakia in 5 days, 7 days, go through the whole Tahara process, so then it's all going to be irrelevant because the window of time will long pass by the time that she's Tahara Levitis. It says the Chazon Ish. So, Harofim Shalanu Omrim Shetar Shehe Ziva Tokim El Yamim, that in order for this procedure to be effective, they have to have Tashmish within 3 days. Ulezei Yesh Kan Shameres Yom Kineged Yom, Ulezei Yesh Lahakim. So, you could be Makel to treat this as dam ziva midin Torah, and then just rely on making her be a shameres yom keneged yom. But you don't have to be makir for chumas of zayir gnosis el etc. Avol kodem ziva mamish chamer ma'od she'al rov he rov adam machmas hachnasas hashoferes. But to allow for tashmish right away, that's problematic because normally she's going to see dam. Aval erofim omer shadamaka. It is true that the doctors tell us, Dr. Taub tells us that it's damaka mikamaka kasha lahakel. Nevertheless, kasha lahakel. So is it kasha lahakel because the Chazon Ish is skeptical as to whether category three is really halachically different than category two, or he's skeptical as to whether this really fits into category three? Doesn't tell you. V'nofen lahafsik me'eis le'eis tahor she'tehei shomeres yom k'neged yom. So you should be machmir on the level of d'oraisa and treat her as a zava ketana as shomeres yom k'neged yom le'inyin chumers v'zeir yesh lahakel v'atzalomer lismoch al hagada sarofin she'zeh damaka. So I don't know if these brackets are added by the editor or from the Chazon Ish himself. You have to look back at the original Zichron Shoh. So as far as the Rabbanans, you could be Mako. So if you read the brackets are saying that his suffix was, do we believe the doctors that this is really category three? Because fundamentally, he subscribes still to the three categories, but he's skeptical as whether the doctor, even this very learned doctor, he's skeptical whether he has the nemanus or the you can rely on him that this is indeed part of category three. So if the Chazon Ish was skeptical as to how to define what's considered category three versus category two, the later poskim are Even more unsure as to how the Chazon Ish would have defined what's considered category 3 as opposed to category 2. What is that procedure where scratching the endometrial lining is equivalent to scratching a different part of the body, which would be a damak? If we look, for example, in Rabbi Forst's second volume, page 495, where he expanded on his analysis of gynecological procedures that he first wrote in volume 1. So volume 2 is a more expansive appendix there. So he writes, and Rabbi Eliezer ben Porat, formerly of Ottawa, now of Lakewood, Big Talmud Chacham, who has a son who's in yeshiva now. So he wrote an article that was printed in Asya a few years ago. Asya is the medical journal put out by the Falk Schlesinger Institute of Shari Tzedek. And this article was just reprinted in the latest Yeshurim, which just came out a couple months ago. So they both point out that even according to the Chazon Ish, it's very unclear how you define something as being part of Category 3. Because the Kosei Arachem are much more sensitive than other parts of the body. So that which could cause... So the threshold for causing blood in the, let's say, in the endometrial lining is much different than the threshold, a scratch. An area of the body that's more sensitive is going to bleed more readily than another part of the body. So how do you define what's considered, if the model is Dam haba machmas seret b'or rechem b'osa ofen shabab b'pesa b'shar aguf. So the petza here is created differently than petza b'shar aguf. So how does that impact on how we define what petza is what? That's a bit unclear. But then if you take Rabbi Morgenstern's approach, he quotes the Chazon Ish's letter, but he seems to be of the position that under all circumstances, even this category 3, we'd be machmiran. So for example, Posen discuss procedures involving scraping, DNC. Sometimes you have to scrape a little bit off the lining of the uterus. So does that create dam nidus? Rabbi Forrest quotes opinions in Posen in both directions. But after all, that sounds like the regular scratching that the Chazon Ish is talking about in category 3. Because if you're somewhere scratching, this is scratching. So that should be pasha, that should be damak if you're scratching and causing the blood to come because of scratching. Rabbi Morgenstern is machmir that also.
What's the name of the procedure?
DNC. Dilation and curettage. If you take a curette, you take you take this instrument and you scrape off something, min ha-rechem. Again, I do hope to have a medical professional come and talk about some of these procedures, lemaisa. So bottom line, there is a certain level of confusion among poskim, so you have those who are of the Makilim, what's quoted from Rosh Hashanah and Tzitz Eliezer, what seems to be the Drash Shmuel Ayin Aleph, and the original Chazon Ish in a Sefer, leaving aside the Chazon Ish in the letters, who seems to say that there is much more grounds to be makel if you have a Makkah Berechem, even the endometrial lining, if it's clear that the dam is coming as a result of that, not Mishum Dam Nidus. And then you have the Chazon Ish, who has his Category 2 and Category 3, and then other poskim or machmir, it sounds like even in what would be his Category 3. Michael.
If this whole discussion about whether dam in the makor, whether it's caused through a maka,
right,
whether it's tamir, if that question really exists, like we don't know how to determine it, then how do you understand the Ramah and the Gemara, when it says Ne'emet Yishol Vomar Maka Yishpo Be'oto Makom? If she's believed that she has a Maka, then that's bringing out blood.
No, so your question is, what's considered... Now let me rephrase your question. It's clear from the Gemara, as you started, that there's such a concept as Maka Be'oto Makom, which is going to be Torah, right? So if you're going to take the more restrictive position here, then what's that case of maka be'osamakom, which is tahor? You're telling me now, according to Rabbi Morgenstern, let's say, that just about every maka that is caused by dam in a makor is going to be tahor, right?
Should be tahor.
He's saying everything's tummy.
I'm saying so the question about him. Why are you saying it's tummy? It
good, right? So one of two things. So either the machmirim distinguish between dam that is coming from, let's say, the endometrial lining, and dam that's coming from the muscle of the uterus, which is above the endometrial lining. So you could have to find out exactly how relevant this is, or how this translates into medical terms, but theoretically you could have such a maka that is from the area of the muscle, not from the area of the endometrial lining, which would be tahor. Or Rabbi Sobolovsky points out that, as we began with, there is a major machlokes haposkim as to what is the exact cutoff point of the halachic makor. So according to Shlomo Zalman and others, the halachic makor extends into part of the cervix. So dam from part of the cervix would be halachically dam in a makor, but it's not coming from the endometrial lining. It would therefore be the kind of damaka that would be tahor.
So theoretically speaking, let's say you scratch an endometrial wall, and then right. She says that, no, the blood that you're seeing right now is not from my endometrial wall, it's from a maka that was caused in the cervical area.
Right, so if that's if there is such a maka, so then however we ascertain the existence of makas, then you'd be making on that, and everyone would agree, in theory. Okay. Rav Schachter, who is from the Machmirim in terms of what is considered da maka, who has the more restrictive position as to what maka could be tahor, points out, and he has a piece printed in the Guinness Egos, a brief piece which was originally printed in the Journal of NCSY Kolo, a number of years ago, reprinted in Guinness Egos. So he quotes a Ragachover. Ragachover in Tshuva Safnas Paneach, the New York edition Simen Zayin, New York Simen Zayin. So Ragachover suggests it's in the context of the status of a baby who is born through a forceps for bidyan abet. That's the context of the tshuva. But in that discussion, the Ragachover suggests that he has the following analogy. That just like the definition of leida, the definition of childbirth, halachically, is where the baby is naturally expelled from the kol se'arechem, right, as opposed to if you take a forceps and pull the baby out. But halachic leida is where the natural process of childbirth pushes out the baby from the kol se'arechem. So the hadara of a re'iya d'oraisa for purposes of damnida is where the rechem pushes the dam outside. So just like leida means the body pushes the blood outside, so damnida, a re'iya min ha'Torah, means that the rechem pushes the dam outside. So therefore, if you have a maka that's pushing the dam outside, that's not going to be a re'iya d'oraisa. That woman is not going to be tmeya min ha'Torah. So in order for a woman to be tmeya min ha'Torah, you have to have the dam that is expelled naturally from the rechem. But if it's a maka that's pushing the dam out, that woman is not going to be tmeya min ha'Torah. However, even if she's not going to be tmeya min ha'Torah, she may be tmeya midrabbanan, and that would be considered a re'iya below hargasha. So just like a woman sees dam without hargasha, then she's not tamei min ha'Torah, but she's tamei midrabbanan, right? Dam below hargasha is metamei midrabbanan. So this is equivalent to dam below hargasha, that on a drabbanan level, a woman who sees dam as a result of a maka b'makor could be tamei midrabbanan. That's what Rav Schachter explains back to the question we started with at the beginning of the year. How do you have a nida d'oraisa b'zman hazeh? Nowadays, most women do not experience a hargasha. So Rav Schachter points out along the lines of this safnas paneach, maybe it's this point, that Hargasha, in general, only comes to establish that the Rechem is pushing out the Dam. So again, the definition of Dam, Nida, Dam, Tmeya, Minotora, a Re'ia, is where the Rechem pushes out the Dam. So the point of Hargasha is that Hargasha is the Simen. Hargasha is what establishes that this is a natural process where the Rechem is pushing out the Dam. But if a woman knows objectively that this is the normal cycle, so that could be a Nida D'Araisa even without Hargasha. Hargasha is just a Simen. And here you don't need that Simen because you have other empirical knowledge that this is a regular cycle and this is the regular way that Dam comes out of the body. It's similar in Lumdus. It's coming from a different starting point. Yeah. Okay. So the related question they have to address a little bit is the general believability of doctors in these contexts. What nemanus does the doctor have to make these determinations or to make these assertions about the existence of damaka or anything else that's relevant to defining a woman as tameya or tahora? If you look in Se'if Ches here, Kuf Pei Zayin Se'if Ches, again, we're in the context of Roa Machmas Tashmish, but this is relevant beyond the local issue of Roa Machmas Tashmish. The Mechaber writes, Simen Kuf Pei Zayin Se'if Ches, Im Tirtza Lisrapo Sarach Sheyeh Kodem Shetiskazek, that if a woman is going to heal herself from the situation of Roa Machmas Tashmish, that only can happen before she's Muchzekes as Roa Machmas Tashmish. Avala Achash Shetiskazek, but once she's already Muchzekes as Roa Machmas Tashmish, it may be too late. Yesh Mistapkim Imutu Lismach Al Ha Refua Lishamish Acharkach. So Yesh Mistapkim, whether if there is a Refua that is attempted that might cure her from this disease, so to speak, of Roa Machmas Tashmish, so Yesh Mistapkim, whether you can rely on that after she's already Muchzekes. Vyesh Mishamatir Im Amr La Rofa Yisrael Nisrapes. Vyesh Mishamatir, if a Jewish doctor tells her that she is healed. The imtira ha'isha shepasak dam vesta v'riyasa ayidei harifuas v'nikir sho'ilu yesh lismach af al ovikachav. And if there's already a track record, then you see that this alleged refu is having an effect, so then you could rely even on a nachri, on a non-Jewish doctor. So where is this shita in the mechaber come from? Where does this yesh mishamatir come from? So the Beis Yosef quotes a sefer atruma. The Sefer goes to Sefer Truma about the believability of the doctors in this context. The Sefer Truma, the way the Beis Yosef quotes it, does not distinguish between the believability of a Jewish doctor and the believability of a non-Jewish doctor. And the Sefer Truma, as cited in the Beis Yosef, leaves out as a tzarach iyun whether either doctor, be Jewish or non-Jewish, has ne'amanus in this context. But in the citation, in the Shuvas Maimonios, Shuvas Maimonios on Bios Asuros, Perek Dalet, Halacha Kaf Aleph. So he quotes the following. Ein b'yadi lahatir al pi dibur goy. So I don't have the ability to be makel based on the testimony of a non-Jewish doctor. Afilu b'rofe. Even a doctor. You can't rely on the testimony of a non-Jew, even a doctor. De lomara nafshe, where you would say, normally speaking, uman lomara nafshe, so he has a professional reputation on the line, like a kvela, and he has believability. De krina be asher p'm divershav. We still apply to nachrim, even doctors, asher p'm divershav. They don't have that manos. Miu. Im tira ha'isha shapasak dam vesta v'riyasa al p'ya refuas. But if there's a medical a treatment that's already been tried, implemented, and you see it's having an effect, such that her cycle is now regulated, and she doesn't have this problem of Roa Machmas Tashmish. V'nikir sho'ilu, you can see the effect. Nirun advarim, sheish lismach afa pigoi, So then you can even rely on a guy. Sharei hadavar zeh refua yeshlo kiyahida dafela chareves dam, etc. So here there's already a track record. Where there's a track record, you could rely on the testimony of a nachri. You look in the Darkei Tshuva Sifkat and Sadi Tes. Darkei Tshuva Sadi Tes, he quotes from a Tshuva's Livanon Nata, that if the medical treatment that's being suggested, that's being implemented, is something that already has a track record, so then you can rely on, even if it hasn't been proven in this instance, but it's a kind of treatment that's already been proven elsewhere, so then you can rely on the Nachri at least, the Makom Igon, where otherwise the woman's going to be Asura Labaila. If you look at Rav Avadia, page Reis Sam Gimel.
Even if that doctor did not administer it,
it sounds like. If this is a kind of refuah that we know has a proven track record, even if... No, I think this doctor has to have administered it, although not to the this patient.
Oh, that's Pasha then.
Why is that Pasha?
Given
it's given to this person, but we don't know whether it's...
But the assumption that I was going to be clear that I was talking about a different person.
If Tira Isha Shafasa Tam Vesta Ru Yasa Pia Rufus Nikashu Lin Yurin... I thought what he's talking about is where you administer it to this person, and it seems to have an effect, but you don't know whether that's going to be a lasting effect, whether there's any connection between that temporary effect and the treatment. So then the doctor has nemanus to say that, no, it's a result of the treatment. The doctor treated this woman, right? And the first month, it seemed to have an effect, but you don't know whether that's random or whether that's attributable to this medical treatment. So there the doctor, where there's already a track record that it seems to be working, the doctor has nemanus to say that it's connected to my treatment. And I think, I didn't see this Levano Nata inside, I can't even tell you who he is, but I thought he's expanding it to I'm not sure if he's limiting it to where this doctor himself has already treated or where others have, not sure. Rav Avadia in the Taras Abayis Chelek Bei Simen Reish Samach Gimel quotes from a Marshaker Shlomo Kluger in his Mei Nida that even according to Zebra Truma, who is at least in this topic about Bimachar, even according to the Sefer Truma, who's skeptical as to whether you can rely on the representation of a doctor that there was a treatment that had an effect. But if you have two Jewish doctors who testify independent of each other, then they have ne'emanus. Because all we're concerned about is maybe Eidacha, you don't say Eidacha Namim Bisurin, where it's Chazik Yisura, so where there's already a cheskas iser, so you can't rely on the testimony of a echas. That's why even if it's a Jewish doctor, you have to be skeptical. But if I have two separate doctors testifying independently of each other, so then I have two edim, and then at least if they're Jewish doctors, you can be mitzarif of the fact that Uma and Lamar of Nase, even without Uma and Lamar of Nase, they have the ne'emanus of two independent edim.
Then the
Kuli Alma,
he thinks, would be
fine. Then he thinks the Kuli Alma, if there are two Jewish doctors, it would be fine. Yeah. And we'll have to talk next time, if we're out of time, about non-Jewish doctors in this context, under what circumstances we may say Uman Lamar Rav Nase. Okay, we'll just finish up with that a few minutes next time. The next sugya is going to be a Nepsichas HaKaver Below Dam, Simin Kufsadi Dalit. So I will be neither go up to my office now and send you out Mar Mekamas. Okay? And then we may just tie up some loose ends about that mark also and move on to a Sikha's Kabbalah.
When are we having the book?